located at Palm Beach Gardens Elementary, 160 Riverside Drive, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. So that's our general prayer. As you make your request, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. Pray this way for kings and all others who are in authority. Why? Why should we pray? Well, I'm glad you ask. It actually tells us why. It tells us so that we can live in peace and quietness. How many of you like peace and quietness? Hello? I mean, in comparison to chaos and war. I mean, I would much prefer the peace and the quietness. And so we see this in this passage where the Holy Spirit is directing us to understand that it's important for us to pray, and we know that the effectual, fervent prayer from James of the righteous availeth much. So anytime you pray, you are not wasting your time, and let me assure you, God does not consider you're wasting His time. Now, sometimes I think we look at time and we think, boy, that person just has a lot to say, and I'm not sure it really matters. I want to assure you that anytime you open your heart to talk to God, God never says, I just wish they would quit talking so much. I believe God is saying, I want to hear your whole heart. I want you to share everything that's inside of you. And so we are to pray for all people, but we're to pray specifically for those kings. We don't have a king per se, but the kings or the leaders, those who have authority over us, so that we can live in peace and quietness in what? Godliness and dignity. And this is good and pleases God our Savior, for He wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. And so peace and quietness is an atmosphere in which righteousness can flourish and prosper. And so God's heart and His desire is that we as the people of God pray and believe for there to be righteousness birthed in our nation. And God honors that kind of a prayer. Jeremiah chapter 29, often we go to this passage, but I want you to take note of a little more of the context that is here in this passage. And so in 29, Jeremiah is writing a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, the priest. And as we look at this, we know Israel is actually in Babylonia. And so in verse 4, the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, sends this message to all the captives He has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Now listen to what God says to do. Now they're actually under correction and punishment. And so the admonition is to build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, eat the food you produce, marry and have children, and find spouses for your children, and have many grandchildren. But pray to the Lord. Wait, let me back up to the beginning of verse 7. Work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Pray to the Lord for that city where you are held captive, for if Babylon has peace, so will you. I know that our nation has had many, many years of rebellion against God. And it really is quite amazing to me that God has been so merciful to our nation. You think about just the babies whose lives have been taken from the womb alone. If that was the only sin of America, the bloodshed and that worship of idolatry is such a tragic condition that I think upon that and think as a nation, we deserve severe judgment. God has been merciful. God has been merciful. But it's not just that. The way our families have been destroyed, marriages have been so broken, morality has been so cast aside, and all of the gender issues, the homosexuality, the lesbian lifestyles, and the pressure on our children with the trans movement, so many different things have been so godless And so totally against the plan of God. And yet God has been merciful. I believe I know in part the answer to that. I believe it's because you and others have been praying. I really do. I believe when God said, I believe in Timothy that we're to pray that there would be peace and there would be righteousness so that the land could actually prosper. And then we go to this passage, and actually, if you don't have it in your note, you probably could write it there in 1 Timothy that Jeremiah 29 is a direct reference, parallel to what we're reading in 1 Timothy, because the instruction is the same. It doesn't matter what year you've lived or where you live, what nation you live in, what first address is in which state, it's the same. God calls us to pray for those who are in authority over us so that the land can experience peace. And the admonition to Israel was, so you will be at peace. If the land's at peace, you will be at peace. And so we see these two passages. I would like to go to one other passage this morning, Romans chapter 13. And in Romans 13, again, we're going to find some familiar scriptures. We don't perhaps read them real often, but they're great scriptures about our government and the importance of godly people maintaining a righteous standard in their land. Romans 13, verse 1, obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. Now look at what the authorities are supposed to refute. And understand, if you have wicked, unrighteous, brutal leaders in your nation that are ungodly, that are putting laws into place that demand of you to break God's law, we're going to honor God above the laws of man always, always. And that is the Word of God, and we see it through the Word of God. Certainly back with Moses and his parents not following the law that said the boys had to be thrown in the Nile. For the authorities do not frighten people who are doing right, but they frighten those who are doing wrong. So what is that saying about the authorities? The authorities are to be maintaining righteousness and justice in the land. It is their responsibility. They're not to be hunting after the righteous. They're to be hunting those who are breaking the law. So do what they say and you will get along well. The authorities are sent by God to help you, not to hinder. That's kind of a nice thing, isn't it? That's God's plan. But if you're doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for you will be punished. The authorities, here it is, are established. The authorities are established by God for that very purpose, to punish those who do wrong. Now, you may have heard in the news over the last few months that there's concern that there's going to be, I've even heard words like a witch hunt, as if there is a plan in place to eradicate wickedness in our land, that is not a righteous thing. Let me assure you that eradicating wickedness and unrighteousness and rebellion against God from the land is an awesome godly thing. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. And so when we look at there's a war going on. You're aware of that. I don't need to emphasize that. There's a war going on. And you could say, well, the war is a political war. Well, let me assure you that politics, whatever role it has in it, the real war is a spiritual war. And the spiritual war has to do with truth and righteousness and with lies and wickedness. There's not a gray zone. Either you are or you're not righteous. Either you are or you're not wicked and unrighteous. And so we've had so many years of sowing to wickedness. You think about a farmer goes out and sows a seed. Remember the Word of God? There's a passage about the farmer that he plants a seed. He had good seed. He expected a good harvest. But his laborers came in and said that there were tares growing in the fields. And so they asked him a question. They said, should we pull those up? Should we try to cleanse the land? And the admonition is, wait until the harvest, because if you try to pull them all up now, it's going to disrupt the good. And so we know that God is the only one that knows the hearts, that really is able to judge what is right and what is wrong, because we don't see people's hearts. But we can certainly see the actions, activities that are ungodly that need to be eradicated from the land. So the authorities by God's plan and design are established to punish those who do wrong. So you must obey the government for two reasons: to keep from being punished and to keep a clear conscience. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes. Really? It's about that time, isn't it? And import duties. Import duties. Sounds like tariffs. Sounds like tariffs. Here they are, right here in the Word of God. Wow. Give respect and honor to all to whom it is due. Pay your debts, accept the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill all the requirements of God's law. For the commandments against adultery, murder, stealing, coveting, any other commandments are all summed up in this one commandment, which is, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to anyone, so love satisfies all of God's requirements. Another reason for living right, or right living, is that you know how late the time is. Time is running out. Wake up, for the coming of our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. In other words, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. All right, so we have these passages that address the situation in the government. In September of 2020, September the 26th, Jonathan Cahn and a number of national leaders gathered in Washington, D.C. for an event that was called The Return. I was thrilled that we were able to interview Jonathan Cahn prior to that event, along with some other national leaders that were part of that event as it was being planned. You can still pull it up, and I believe it's still very valid, because I believe at that time, Jonathan Cahn was one of the voices that was saying to the United States of America, God is still giving us His mercy, but we need to return. We need to come back to God. And it was during those days, I think maybe more so than any others, that I began to understand that Jonathan Cahn had been blowing the shofar over our nation, over New York and wherever he was. He was blowing the shofar, and he was calling our nation to repent and return to God. And his burden was clearly spoken. He made it very clear that he believed that if we did not repent as a nation, that we had pending judgment quickly that would come upon us. And so I look back to that date as being a significant time, but many of you were praying long before that. You were interceding for your family and interceding over our nation and over your nation if you were not in the United States at that time, and praying for God to bring a great awakening to this generation. And I believe in part we are seeing a little bit of return right now, and I thank God for that. If you didn't get to see the first cabinet meeting that President Donald Trump had for his second term, this was just days ago. If you have not seen that, I would encourage you to go and watch that. You can pull it up on YouTube. You can find it on your computer. It'd be very easy to find. Let me share with you some of the things that encouraged me, and I believe we should be thanking God for answered prayer and for a return of our nation from high points of leadership back to God. And so these are some of the things that I found. And you can go online and print this out as well. You can find this. In this cabinet meeting, we have Scott Turner, who came across as a brilliant and very anointed pastor who prayed. Someone said that President Trump made the request, and I'm not sure of this. I didn't hear him say this, but someone said that this came as the result of President Trump saying, isn't there someone that can say grace? You go, well, I thought we said grace over our meals, right? But really the saying of grace is giving thanks, and it's acknowledging God. And so I'm not sure, but I read that somewhere that was his request. Who do we have that could say grace over this cabinet meeting? And so Scott Turner was a pastor. He's now housing and urban development. He's overseeing that. He delivered this prayer. And as he was speaking this and I was hearing these words, I was thinking we are returning, because from our highest offices, we're acknowledging God with a desire to pursue His return to us and our return to Him. Father, we thank You for this awesome privilege to be in Your presence. Just the opening of the prayer was an acknowledgement that you cannot go anywhere and be separated from the presence of God. That is a powerful aspect of God's character and who He is. And the Word of God makes that clear. Even Jonah in the belly of the whale cries out and says that God was there. You know, he's looking at the bars, the bones of this fish, and yet there in the belly of the whale, he found God. We thank you for this awesome privilege to be in your presence. We all thank you that you've allowed us to see this day. And then he begins to quote some scripture. The Bible says, "Your mercies are new every morning, and we give you the glory and the honor." Now recognize, he's going to talk about mercy. And he's praying about God releasing his mercy, and in this prayer of recognizing the presence of God. He's acknowledging that the mercy that we have is from God and not from our hands. That is awesome. Thank you, God, for President Trump and for anointing. Again, a direct biblical reference that I have no place of authority apart from the oil of the anointing from God that calls me, places me, and ordains me to do the work I have to do. I'm listening to this and I just wanted to shout because I realized something was happening in the airwaves over our nation that was a reclaiming, a restoration, a returning to God. And when they showed pictures, I'm used to seeing people in church talking to each other during prayer, moving around, getting up, doing different things. If you take note, I don't know who all these people are. I don't know what their religious background is, but I saw them with their heads bowed in reverence over what was being done. That was powerful. There was reverence being given to God and to His Word. Thank you for anointing us to do this job. We pray. He's calling everybody, agree with the Word of God. We pray you will give the president and the vice president wisdom as they lead. We're now leaning on God. We're calling upon God. We are recognizing His mercy, and we are declaring that we do not have the means to govern this nation without your wisdom. This was an awesome prayer. I pray for all my colleagues that are here around the table in this room, and I'm going to jump through some of this. We pray that we would lead, not just for the president, vice president, but that we in this cabinet would lead with righteous clarity. You know what righteousness is? Righteousness is the absence of lawlessness. Righteousness is getting it right and upholding the righteous standard of God. As we serve the people of this country and every prospective agency. Father, now I was already excited when I was hearing this, and when I heard this, I was ready to shout. Father, we would humble. Any of you heard that word before? Humble. We would humble ourselves before you. This is a call that the president, vice president, those that are leading in the room, that we, it's a request of God, that we would humble ourselves before you and we would lead in a manner that you called us to lead and serve. This is absolutely awesome to have this kind of prayer, not just read from a form letter, but prayed from the heart with fire and with anointing. Blessed, as the Bible says. I love it. Billy Graham always said that. The Bible says. Here we have leaders now in our nation's capital that's saying what the Bible says, that the Lord has mercy, His mercies are new. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Father, we today honor you in your rightful place. That's a prayer of dedication of our nation, the president, the vice president, the cabinet, the leaders, to the will and purposes of God, to honor God as a sovereign leader of our nation. Back when In God We Trust was put on the money, it was a good place to put it because the message got out to a lot of people. But I believe many more people ignored what was written on the money and they were trusting in the money rather than in God. But we are seeing a shift. There's a lot of people talking prophetically about a shift that's taking place in our nation spiritually. I do believe that we are experiencing a bit of national awakening, and it is thrilling. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to restore faith in this country, boy, we need faith restored in Jesus Christ, and be a blessing to the people of America. And Lord God, today in our meeting, we pray that you will be glorified in our conversations. In Jesus' name, not in his name, not in some God's name, in Jesus' name, we call this done. Amen. Amen. This is pretty powerful, and a lot of people heard what was said, and a lot of people are listening, and I thank God for that. There's one other thing that I've seen in these days that also really got my attention, and it was the speech the other night that President Trump gave. Now, I've heard him speak of the shot that was fired, and I've heard him give credit to God in reference to his life. And there's many people that have opinions and judge and this and that. I'm just talking about what's being said, because we haven't had these kind of words spoken in a long time. Haven't had them spoken in a long time. And I remember during the election process where there was a speech and there was a candidate that in the gathering someone was making a comment, and in reference to God, in reference to the need of our nation returning to God. And I remember hearing that candidate say, "You're at the wrong rally. You need to go down the street." And so the direction was clearly, if you want to talk about God, you need to go down to Trump's rally. Well, now, we're not ignorant people. You all understand a lot because you're able to see. The Spirit of God gives you discernment. You're able to see through a lot of these things. And when you see things like that, where there's a public exposure, a clear exposure of the place and the stand that a candidate is taking, I don't know how any righteous person with any intelligence and understanding could possibly vote for someone that says, "We're not going to talk about God in this party. You're at the wrong party." So there still is a lot of awakening that needed to be done in our nation. And this morning, there still is a lot of awakening that needs to be done in our land. But I appreciate the fact that our president not only has, in the past, when he was running for office, said some things that maybe he was charged with simply trying to pamper those religious people, those far righteous people. And if somebody calls you far right, then say hallelujah. That's because of the righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus makes you a far right righteous person. So don't apologize for that. Amen? But many politicians have spoken one thing with their mouth. They've done another thing with their life. And so I understand the criticisms and the opinions that some have had. But I'm thrilled to see that not only did that happen while President Trump was running for office, but it continues, and he continues as he is leading to give honor to God and respect to God and what he has to say. The other night, I don't know if you stayed up late enough to listen. I did. And I stayed up late because I wanted to hear what he had to say. Because the words we speak are life or death. Remember that. When you hear someone speaking, they're either speaking life or they're speaking death. And I wanted to hear what he was going to say because I knew the next day the media would not necessarily get it right. And so I know that God can give us discernment to know what is truth and what isn't truth. And so as I was listening and he began to talk about that shooting where I think 8 shots had rang out, less than 10 minutes later at that same rally, the gunfire rang out. A 6 deranged assassin unloaded 8 bullets from his perch. And there continues to be all kinds of investigation into what took place on that day. And I wasn't there, and if I had been there, I wouldn't know anything more maybe than I know today. But I believe we had corruption on levels higher than any of us want to believe. I do not believe that our intelligence departments are so stupid that a common person standing on the ground could see that somebody was trying to get on the roof and got up there with a gun. I just do not believe that we don't have any intelligence in this nation that did not have the ability to know what was going on. And I just heard that while Jill Biden had 12 security committed to watch her, President Trump, running her that time, had 4 on detail. I'm just saying we've had corruption on all kinds of levels. And so God in his mercy, has had his hand on our nation. And I want to challenge you to be a people of prayer. Don't stop praying. We've been praying. We should be able to say, I can see that God is answering prayer. But I need to keep praying because the battle is not over. Well, he went on to say this, my life was saved by a fraction of an inch. A few words later from that, he said, I believe. He didn't say, I think. He didn't say, I feel. He said, I believe that my life was saved that day in Butler for a very good reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. I am thrilled to hear him giving God more credit and giving himself less credit. This was a great burden to me because humility is imperative in order for the righteousness of God to be active in our life. We need this from our leaders. And I remember during the first presidency where on one occasion someone said, why are you always talking about yourself? He said, because everybody else is lying about me, so somebody's got to get the record straight. Now I'm glad to hear him say that I believe my life was saved for that purpose in Butler. That's why I'm still alive. I trust this morning, before I go to the next scriptures, that all of us could just for a moment stop and realize and be able to say that, I believe I'm alive at this time in history. I believe you're alive at this time in history. Not different than President Trump, a different mission, a different gift, a different calling, but I believe that we are alive at this time because God is not finished with his work through his people in our nation. And I believe we need to recognize that, we need to pray that, we need to declare that and decree that, that just like Esther in her day, as she stood and recognized that she was brought to that date for such a time as that to do a work for God, we are as well. And I thank God for some leaders that are beginning to honor God.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for our show, Keeping It Real Estate.
We'll cover everything from getting you ready to purchase a home to sharing programs that help with closing costs and tips to sell your home hassle-free.
Plus, we'll dive into local market conditions, have special guests, and take your calls live on the air.
Don't miss this power-packed show to help you achieve your real estate goals. See you then.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all